Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Colette. Hi, Emmeline. How are you?
Good. How are you, Laura?
Good. So let's go first. Whoever wants to go first, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, Colette's the author of this wonderful book, so I'll let you go first.
I'm an author and producer, and I just wrote a young adult novel that I'm very, very excited about, Breed. And the beautiful Anna Lynn McCord read the audio version of it, and just happy to be here.
I love this.
Thank you, Coco. I'm a lot of things. I don't really know what I am. I'm a multi-dimensional being currently in the 3D. But I'm an actress, an activist, and I love, obviously, my friend Colette and her amazing books, but Breed specifically touches on an issue that matters very much to me, us being able to stay on this planet and take care of the beautiful, wonderful animals that we have. And I think that the way Breed incorporates a really important topic into beautiful entertainment is something awesome and an amazing way to like plant little seeds in the young adult world of be conscientious of our world and the damage we're causing it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we're causing damage. But unfortunately, that's what's we're in today's world. So, you know. So let's talk about Breed. Tell us a little bit about the book and what was the source of inspiration? What was the idea that just brought this book to life?
Well, the idea was my dad. My dad was diagnosed with brain cancer. And when he was dying, he was talking a lot about the soul and what it meant to have a soul. And we started to talk about animals, and my father was a huge animal lover. I mean, he would take ants out on a piece of paper so that we couldn't squash them. He was like all about not killing, preserving, and saving. And so that whole idea came, and he was talking about animals and their souls and evolution and the future. And suddenly Breed was born. And so the book means so much to me on so many different levels, but the most important is my dad, and well, not the most important for me, but not for the planet. It's the animals. But so basically that was the genesis, and it just became this passion project for me. And Anna Lynn and I went to Arizona, and we had this really great moment in Sedona, and it kind of clicked in my head. I was like, oh my God, will you read the book? So I was like, will you read it? And she, you know, knew my dad. It was like, it was perfect. So here we are.
And what was your thought when you were offered, you know?
I was like, duh, of course I'm reading it. Nobody else is going to. Colette talks about how special it is, the connection with her father. I think what people would be interested to know about her dad is some of the incredible things that he has done for our world. From cleaning up water up in the Bay Area, San Francisco, Coco? Yeah. From that to raising two beautiful daughters, being an immigrant coming from Iran. And after he passed, one of the things that touched me about this talk about souls, this beautiful soul, was he never told anyone, but he was sending home money to underprivileged kids to be able to go to college, go to school in Iran. And letters started pouring in of thank you, gratitude to Hedi for what. So he cares about humans, he cared about planets, he cares about the soul of our world. And what's really special about Breed is how Hedi is depicted in it, because Colette actually uses his name as the scientist, which is super cool for me reading it. but and the fact that I actually would have been his favorite daughter because I'm obsessed with science.
Probably true.
His other Colette and Jasmine have no interest in science. But Colette really took a point to really dive into what her dad was talking about at the end of his life and the science that was required to. So she did a very good job. I'm very proud of her. And I was stoked not only to as a sci-fi fan to be a part of this, but also this is something really, really unique. So not to give too much of a spoiler, but it's kind of right away once you get it dive into the book that you discover what the science is. And the idea was that Dr. Hetty in the book takes the soul particle from the pineal gland out of these incredible animals that were dying out. And we then skip forward, you know, several years later, time has passed. And now the hybrids, the animal human hybrids that were developed as a result of Dr. Hetty saving the essence of these incredible animals, they make up the kingdoms of the world in this future time in 2999 AD. And so you get this sense of, you know, this kind of dystopian future world. So you get that element, and then you get this, you know, these crazy, like, kind of like, you know, not alien, but, you know, interesting creatures, but they flicker. And so they're human form, but then when they have intense emotions, they flicker into their shadow, which is the lion that they're part, or the cetacean, or the bird, or the amphibian, or the reptile, whichever kingdom they're from, they flip in, they flicker into that other animal. So it's like the whole world is extremely vibrant. And Colette did an incredible job making it colorful and yummy. And as a actress performer, to be able to read those, you know, vibrant details and paint that picture for the listener was a lot of fun. I hope that people feel like it was when they listened to it.
I will say I've listened to her, like I've listened to the Audible, and I'm like, it's so good. And so I'm writing, I just finished book two.
Finish it already? I haven't had my phone. My phone's been in Canada until last night. So I'm like so behind on life right now.
Well, it's done. It's done. I know. But I hear her voice. I'm like, it's not in my voice anymore. I'm like writing it. I'm like, how's she going to say this?
How's that qualifying? You know, like it's not there. And then as an audio narrator, like what is the process like, you know, just to make this story come to life? Because
I just also have to say she's one of my best friends too. So I can like bully and be mad and be like, look what like
terrible.
All sorts of pressure.
She's the nicest bully I've ever met in my life. I keep waiting for her actually to be mean. No, but the process, we kind of figured it out as we went, right? Okay. It was like
you were by yourself in New York doing it.
Yeah. So I was filming my TV show in New York, and we're like, you know, we're obviously 3 hours difference between the two of us. We're figuring out a studio near me. I had a house out in Long Island, so I needed to like have a location out there. So the opportunities there are a little bit more scarce than if I was in the city. But we found an amazing man, Mike, who's in his 60s and is an avid Breed fan now, because he was like, I would never have ever happened upon this, but now I need to know what happens next. the process was interesting. I think we ended up with like 18 hours of studio time, probably, Coco, right? So it's a long process. I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. So for me, it was really important to, when I noticed that my energy is waning, cause you're kind of on just nonstop as an actress. I obviously have breaks in between. And, but when you're reading, you're just kind of going through it. And I'm eating up the story. Mike's super enthralled. He's like, Paige Turner, let's go to the next chapter. I'm like, Mike, I need a lunch break. He's like, I need to know what happens. but so we definitely would go into it, but he was really great as a producer, like a technical producer, kind of letting me know when he's like, that character didn't sound like her. you need to take a little walk, you need to get some water, you need to take a little break. And whenever the energy would wane. So it's really important to keep high energy. The whole book is high stakes. So it's like I was an emotional roller coaster.
Wait till book two. I actually did when I'm like, oh God, it just doesn't stop. What am I right. writing myself into?
Yesterday. Oh, and also Colette loves making up like crazy words. She loves like introducing old ancient languages. Our Aramaic, I hear, is in the second book.
Aramaic book, which is not fun. I there were parts about this book where I don't know why I made things so difficult for myself, because I, as Anna said, I'm not a science person at all. In fact, yesterday Breed was listed in like BookTrib did a list of 7 books about transhumanism. And I was so excited when I saw this. And then I'm like, and Dune was one of them. I mean, I'll send it to you. It's like
the biggest
compliment ever, obviously, to be next to Dune. But I'm going to admit this. Had they not put the definition of transhumanism, I would have been like,
Google.
I would have totally. I was like, Dad's real proud right now.
Oh yeah, he's looking down, smiling at his little girl.
Wow. Yeah.
I was a little bit pissed at Colette when we got to a particular chapter, and I had been building up, and you understand, like I've been perfecting everything, making this so wonderful for her, and all I want is a little bit of fun time once the love story pays off.
Time.
Literally, I turn the chapter and it's like she wakes up the next morning. I'm like, I don't get to read any of the juicy bits. Like, and then I remembered it's a young adult novel, so we gotta keep it PG. But there is a delicious romance that goes through the book. If you're not in love with Aiden, I don't know what's wrong with you. It is Aiden is a very fiery lion leader of the Aum kingdom, so he flickers into a lion and it is sexy. I think it is like almost dangerous how yummy he is.
he is yummy.
Is there anything exciting in Shadow for me to look forward to? Is it still PG?
It's a bit PG.
Oh, come on.
But there's like juicy excitement. Oh my God, okay. Wait till you see your character.
I put in a request for a salacious character that I'm going to take ownership of. Obviously Siren is wonderful, but she's a little young. I'm a little bit mature. I've got some interesting experiences under my belt. So I decided to be a part of the reptile world. So I am very, very excited to see what's really exciting. I think, obviously we're talking about book one, but, book two will be unveiling more of the other kingdoms. Book one really focuses on the kingdom of Aum, and you get to know this incredible world, and it's really amazing. And you fall in love with the characters, I think, right away. But there's a whole world out there. So for me, I'm excited to dive into book two to definitely discover more of the world.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. So Colette, can you talk to us about the world building process? Because I feel like that's like takes, you know, just you're creating a whole world, you know, whole place that the reader can engage. And when I started reading it, I was transported to a different space, and it was just like magical. So what's the process like for you?
Well, this was a whole new world, literally a whole new world for me, because it's a different time. I'm not jumping back to high school or to, you know, any present day moment that, you know, makes kind of grounding in reality a lot easier. So this was really a lot of mapping out. It was a lot of research. I did a lot of research on the different animals. There are things, you know, I didn't know. And just mapping out the difference between the kingdoms, the difference between the species and what the skill sets they would have, and what, you know, given the skill sets they naturally have, what would be their natural things to do as humans, what would they be as humans? And so that's kind of like how I went into it, where you have like the ohm, they growl, the lion growls, and he's aggressive and he's the king of the jungle. So how would the lion male human be? He would be an alpha and it'd be, he'd be aggressive. Mm-hmm. And he growls too, as you know.
We love the growl.
Love the growl. Yeah. And so that's kind of like, I just kept plotting and plotting and plotting of the different kingdoms, and it just came to life, really came to life. And so, you know, the goal is obviously we want to see this on film or television. Mm-hmm. So, and for me, that was like the image. I'm like, what would you want to see if you were watching this? How would you see this? Like,
and it does, it is such a visual, like for a book, it's the visuals. I think you probably know, Laura, from reading it. It really, I mean, you fully can see the world, like the way, you know, you could see Harry Potter as a total different world. Like you really, you fully grasp the colors and the feeling and the sense of it all. It's really cool.
Yeah, it felt like a sensory experience. Like I felt like all five senses were immersed in this world. Like, you know, the whole experience, like just bring up the colors, check it up, like an edge, you know, the intensity of it. Like it was just like keep going and going and going. And I'm like, okay, I want to keep going. Like I just don't want to stop. You know, because sometimes books, they might lull about it, you might just get bored, but this one was like not. This was just like
no. Just, you know? Action-packed, non-stop action.
Yeah. I mean, wait till book two if you guys think this one, I'm like, oh my god, it doesn't stop. <It's> just, she's gonna sleep. Siren has to sleep now.
Well, I think you know, it's there's some amazing moments with like some female warriors, and the element of the feminine in the book is really incredible. But I think what's really cool about the heroine, about Siren, is it's not this shoved in your face kind of masculine female that we've been seeing so much of. And I say that because to have a female lead does not mean that she has to kick everybody's ass. Like it doesn't mean she can't, and it doesn't mean she doesn't. But one of the beautiful things about the feminine energy is that we're strong and yet we're soft, we're fluid and we're flowing. And I think that there's been, in a desire to rightfully give more women and more females leading roles in these, they're still kind of playing into the masculine because they're putting women into a role that not all women fit. Not all women are going to come punch you in the face, you know, like, and are jacked up. And like, and there are those characters in the book, but I love Siren because unlike a lot of the stories that are out there right now and that are being promoted today to young girls and young boys, young genders, or, you know, nondescript, like she's everything. She's nothing. She's everything. She melds into life the way we do as humans. And she embodies this incredible feminine energy. When she gets angry, she's pretty tough little chick and she can do some pretty powerful things. But I really love that she, like, one of the things that she, her job is to carry on, is to breed, is to carry on her, right? Her yeah. line, her, she has to keep the very small group of cetaceans that still exist alive. And I think that there's been this kind of shaming about like mothers, like housewife, mother, like somehow that's not the hardest job in the whole world. Like there's a reason that Colette and I don't have kids. Like it's a real thing, you know? Yeah. Like we respect what it requires to guide a life. And I think that where this could get flack, would be from these kind of people who went too far in one direction, trying to like force this masculine female versus a strong woman or a strong feminine energy by whomever or whatever is playing the role. And I think that we haven't seen enough of that. We've seen strong men, strong masculine men, and strong masculine females. But where is the strength of the feminine being shown in storytelling for young adults? And I think that Breed, Colette does an incredible dance with the feminine in this book too, which I think is something that I personally, if I did have kids, I would want them to be able to be validated in both their feminine and masculine attributes.
Thank you so much. That's the best compliment. Really. Yeah.
It's so beautiful what you've done with it. It's, and it's like also, that's one of the most beautiful things about Colette is she is this kind of feminine, fluid, gorgeous, flowing hair, but she will cut you. Like, she will send you beetles. Like, you, she will do some voodoo magic on your ass. Like, so just like, don't get it twisted.
That lovely, like, soft, flowing hair, she'll come for you.
I think that's a wonderful way to guide young women, young people who are kind of figuring out who they are. Do they fit into a gender? Do they like what they, we shouldn't have to look at genders. We should look at energy. That's actually much more, and we all have masculine and we all have feminine within us. And I think that that's a really relevant topic today. And I think that Breed touches on it in a very subtle, just be a part of the story and you'll experience it.
And to say what you said about energy, I mean, one of her Siren's gifts is to be able to see people's aura. And that was important. I do think that we young adults especially can start to pick up on people's energy, and you can start to see, are they, you know, and figure out your own and stabilize your own by doing that. And so that was an important gift to give her, to be able to read people, because I think that's an important gift for people to have. And it's something we can access as well.
Absolutely. Actually, I love that you said that, Coco, because that is one of the things we teach young adults, we teach children, we teach kids to stop listening to their intuition, to fit into these societal norms. But what's so incredible about hybrid humans in Breed is that they are returning to instinct. They're returning to their instinctual, intuitive side. And we are animal. Like, you know, that part shouldn't be lost on us. Humans are part of the animal group. And we are constantly trained to second guess our intuition, to second guess our gut feeling about things. So be polite. Maybe some people don't deserve you to be polite to them because maybe they're creepy and you shouldn't like teach a child to go hug a stranger, you know, like because it's polite or whatever. I think that there's a really wonderful element also of just highlighting the instinct and the sense of that animalness that even without being a hybrid, we have within us.
For sure. It's our wild. And it's, you know, I call it the shadow in Breed, but it's our wild. And if you can, our wild is beautiful. You know, people hide from their wild, but it's actually very beautiful, especially when you can, you know, when it's controlled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love this. So how's it going with the pandemic? How's it writing a book in the pandemic? And how's it narrating a book in the pandemic? You know,
it's so much fun. The pandemic sucks.
Understandable, yeah.
But I mean, I'm a homebody by nature, to be honest. So this is, as a writer especially, so it's not that it's been so tough, because I do have to sit away and hide. And Anna is actually the same. She hides from people too.
We're like totally typically quarantine people until we're told. And then we're like, wait, let me tell what to do. totally fine with quarantine and ordering in. Yeah. Like, I'm totally cool. Yeah.
I own it too, because my sister's like, where do you want to go? Like,
nowhere. We don't want to go anywhere. We just don't want to be told not to. This
idea of a party sounds like a great idea, but I don't want to go to the party.
I don't want to go, but I want to be able to go.
Yeah.
I miss the lunches out though. That's the one thing I do miss the most, lunches.
Yes.
But been writing and just finished book two. And I have another book coming out in the summer, a memoir. About my, it's not really a memoir, but it's about my experience last summer couch surfing on friends' phones. after a divorce.
It is so funny. And it's with the backdrop of her Iranian family. And if you've never been a part of an Iranian family as an outsider being brought in, you really should be, or you should read the book in order to experience it, because it is so funny. It is absolutely hysterical. It's just nonstop comedy.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. Oh my gosh, I'm excited. Awesome.
Anna, how's your quarantine going?
Oh, well, you know, I told Colette, like, being able to do this book was exciting. I was like, I get to, like, leave my house. I'm driving somewhere. This is crazy. Look at me. I'm in a studio. Obviously, we were, you know, when you're recording in a studio, you actually are social distanced just because you're on another side of a glass wall. But it was like an adventure. I'm like, I'm leaving the house today. I'm going to read a book. I think that being able, especially for the demographic, to be able to have these wonderful books coming out during a pandemic to keep their imagination and their minds alive while they're not able to do as many things as they've been used to is really super cool. And I certainly had fun being a part of creating that as far as performing it is concerned.
I'm so excited. Yeah, I feel like books have been like a relief to many people, whether it's audiobooks or reading a physical book or graphic novel, whatever it is. It's just been a good escape from like the anxiety and the tension and the unprecedented times that we're living, you know? So
heard that word so many times. Yeah, unprecedented.
I just want to live in unprecedented times, like not unprecedented. Like I just want to live the place where it's like nothing happens. It is great. So tell us where you can find you online.
For me, my Instagram, Coletta Betty, that's where I really, the only social media. I'm trying TikTok. It's really hard for me though. I don't know what to tell you. It's just like another thing to do. I'm like, oh my God, because I have so much time to now get on TikTok too, but I'm trying. So Coletta Betty Instagram, that's where you could find me.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I'm at the Anna Lynn, that's AnnaLynne McCord, McCord, on Instagram and Facebook. And then I am not super active on Twitter. I have a Twitter account, but it's at I am Anna Lynn, MCC on Twitter. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Anna. And thank you, Colette, for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.